Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
And good Wednesday morning to you all. This is Today's Issues on a Wednesday, the 16th day of September, as we edge ever closer. Is it, 48 days, I think, to Election Day? We've been talking about this election for so long. It is getting closer. We're just, less than 2 weeks now from the first debate. As we discussed yesterday, if there's going to be a debate, there's some speculating that maybe the Democrats will find some way to pull former Vice President Joe Biden out of that mix, because there is concern about how he might perform. But anyway, we're closing in on that. But also, the big story of the day continues to be, we've been talking about this all week, is Hurricane Sally. Mm-hmm. Sally came ashore this morning on the Gulf Coast around 4:45, and it had moved slightly east. Yesterday, we were talking about perhaps coming in closer to Biloxi, Mississippi, but it looks like Mobile, Alabama took that initial hit. They were talking about winds of 100 to 105 miles per hour, Category 2 hurricane. The big story seems to be going to be coming out of this is very slow moving. Yeah, 100-mile-an-hour winds are nothing, you know, to laugh about, that's for sure. But the rain, mm-hmm. this thing moving at 2 miles per hour, roughly, so and then continuous flooding rain. So that is going to be the big story, the damage that's caused by when you have a storm of this size moving that slowly, just bringing all that moisture in from the Gulf of Mexico and this dumping it on those communities. So, Mobile, Alabama, on over into the panhandle of Florida, Pensacola, Orange Beach, mm-hmm. all of those areas are really getting drenched at the moment. It will move slowly off to the northeast, up towards Montgomery, Alabama, and then over into Atlanta. And then they're talking about it's going to be hitting the north end of South Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, all of that area. They're already predicting and warning about heavy rains in that area. So this storm is going to hang around for a long time, and Chris, it's going to dump a bunch of rain. Chris Woodward.
Yeah, I will say, like, if any of it goes over to Birmingham, goes kind of over the Birmingham area, having lived and worked there for a number of years, there's parts of the city that have had flooding problems just mm-hmm. from heavy rainfalls. So you will definitely see issues involving just streets covered with water, things of that nature. Montgomery has a similar issue if it does indeed cause a problem there. But what's interesting is a number of these places are in coronavirus hotspots. Mm-hmm. So there will be some concerns over, you know, what am I supposed to do, or how am I going to deal with this and that if we don't have power, or if trees are down and blocking various pathways. So it will be a story for the coming days for sure.
Steve Jordahl also co-hosting with us today. Steve, I know you've dealt a lot with these kinds of storms and the teams that come in to help out afterwards, like 8 Days of Hope. You know, and we talk about 8 Days of Hope. They're a great partner with American Family Radio. They're just stretched to the limit now. We were talking about that. They've been in Iowa because of the big windstorm there back several weeks ago. They've lately been in Lake Charles in the wake of Hurricane Laura. And now I know Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope must be thinking, okay, now we have to start thinking about the Gulf Coast.
The guy's indefatigable, if that's the word I'm thinking of. 8 Days has a two-tier response to every tragedy, every natural disaster. They send in a quick response team, which goes and tries to figure out how bad it is, finding the initial houses. And then a month or two later, they send teams in for months that start actually cleaning houses up and, putting sheetrock back in. For all I know, they're still in the Florida panhandle from the last one last year. They just kind of hang around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I have yet to see a limit to Steve Tiber and 8 Days of Hope. They've never, to my knowledge, said, we just can't do it. We're stretched too thin. Yeah. They've always got room.
Always have room. Probably, folks, I know Steve has told us, we interview him frequently because of these storms and disasters across the country. Steve has told us that I think we're upwards of 80% of the volunteers often get their information right here. They're American Family Radio listeners. And so, folks, if you're listening and you're one of those that has volunteered in the past, be watching the website, 8 Days of Hope, over the next several days. I know we'll likely be talking to Steve on the air, but likely there will be instructions once Hurricane Sally moves up and becomes a tropical storm further inland as to how you can help out on the Gulf Coast, because they are going to need help. When you have a heavy drenching storm like this, Steve, you mentioned this, you know, drywall is going to have to be replaced. That's going to be one of the big things. Mm-hmm. Just cleaning up houses that have been flooded, businesses, et cetera, et cetera. So prayers continue in the meantime for all of these dear folks in the path of Hurricane Sally. And we hope it actually picks up speed so it does reduce some of the damage there. But prayers are with you folks. We have a lot of listeners in that area along the Gulf Coast, Mobile, Alabama. And certainly I hope you're still able to hear us, still have some electricity. That's another problem. There are thousands of people without electricity this morning, and that'll be a while coming back in many of those areas. All right, I wanted to deal this morning with the war on our police in this country. I've never seen anything like this. And we've talked about the resignations. We've talked about more and more people saying, I don't want to be a police officer anymore because the politicians are not supporting us in the job that we are trained to do, that we are supposed to do. And we've seen the stories now, especially just last weekend out in L.A. County, these police officers ambushed. There's another headline this morning, Virginia police hunting for gunmen who shot patrol car 3 times. Now, the officer in that case, this was in, I believe, Suffolk, Virginia. He was not injured, thankfully. But somebody just walking up, and they're talking about kind of a copycat story. Here's another headline this morning. Portland protester charged with pointing high-powered laser into officer's eye. And they're talking about a laser that apparently could burn paper. They've done some testing on that. Mm-hmm. Could actually burn paper. This is the kind of thing that these people are facing every day. On the L.A. County shooting, a Los Angeles area city manager has been put on leave because he basically said the cops deserved it. Now, he used the phrase, chickens have come home to roost. Mm-hmm. He's been suspended. But can you imagine a city manager, city official, actually giving some praise to the gunman that did this? You remember the 2 officers were seriously injured. They are going to recover from those injuries. But as far as I know, Steve, they're still looking for the shooter in that case, aren't they?
Yeah, they don't know. They're looking. There certainly is a lot of investigation going on. They thought they might have had him this morning, but they didn't. I've got a story running. You can find it on onenewsnow.com today, and it's on our air today. The heroic response of the woman who was the police officer in the in this shooting that was shot in the jaw and continued to give first aid to her partner, secure the area. She called out, officer down, 998 Compton Pax, or Compton Pax 998 is the call, and she, you could barely understand her. Listen for that. It's remarkable audio and heroic actions by our police.
Is it any wonder why Senator Josh Hawley, the Republican senator from Missouri, has been talking about the David Dorn Back the Blue Act. Mm-hmm. He wants a law passed in Congress. Now, David Dorn is the retired police officer who was acting. He had retired, 77 years old, retired. There were riots in St. Louis. He was acting as a security officer outside a pawn shop, I believe it was, and he was gunned down.
Correct.
By the rioters. So that's who David Dorn is. Here's Senator Josh Hawley explaining why he feels this pro-police legislation is needed. Cut 6.
9 And we hear nothing from, you know, it's extraordinary to see in St. Louis alone, there have been 9 police officers shot in the line of duty since June. 9. And we hear nothing from the Democrats, nothing from the woke corporations and celebrities. And that's why I'm introducing this bill. This would give a pay raise to every cop in America, and it would put more cops on our streets. It's time that we stood up and supported our law enforcement. The safety of our neighborhoods depends on it.
Yeah, that's Senator Josh Hawley, Republican from Missouri. And I tell you what, is this kind of encapsulates the reason why President Trump has made law and order a big portion of his campaign. I think the American people they're alarmed at what they are seeing. Yes, we know that there are incidents where correction is needed when you have some officers who overstep the boundary at, you know, as far as going outside of what they should do. We understand that. But at the same time, the George Floyd incident and a few others that have occurred are being used for a much more draconian agenda, quite frankly, Chris, against law and order in this country.
Yeah, and speaking of law and order, Josh Hawley, prior to becoming a U.S. senator, he was the attorney general for the state of Missouri, so he knows a little something about law enforcement. He's also on the Senate Judiciary Committee that deals with these sorts of issues. And the Trump administration has been very outspoken on the George Floyd situation for a long time, really pretty much from the days after that, saying what the police officers in question did was not appropriate, maybe they overstepped their bounds, things like that. So the administration, while touting law and order, has also been critical of law enforcement officers that have done questionable things in their responses to this and that. But by and large, a lot of the things that make up the news these days are acts, just things none of us ever imagined seeing play out in America. And really, it's these actions of the far left that have caused a lot of people to kind of think, well, wait a minute here, am I going to, should I change who I'm possibly going to vote for this November? To have some sound here, this is undecided voter Danielle Pletka. Now, she works for a think tank called the American Enterprise Institute, but she told Fox and Friends this morning that the far left may actually push her to vote for Trump. Clip 7.
Well, I have to believe what I see. And that's the challenge, I think, for all of us, is that for many people, the concern is that Joe Biden isn't really the man he used to be, and the Democratic Party isn't the party it used to be. The party has lurched to the far left, and he's had to accommodate that. So what he believes in his heart of hearts is really irrelevant at this point, because he represents a party and a faction within that party that is really extreme, to my mind.
You know, I mean, historically speaking, the Democratic Party has been a big supporter of police departments, law enforcement agencies. They need more funding. They need more equipment, all these things. And here we are in 2020, and you've got Democratic stronghold cities, Minneapolis, one example, that want to just get rid of the police department and replace everybody with social workers.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons, Steve, I know you deal with police stories quite a bit. It's one of the reasons why police unions, police groups across this country have been endorsing Donald Trump. Normally, they tend towards endorsing these police unions, Democratic candidates. But they don't see much hope of support right now from the Joe Biden camp in the Democratic Party.
Seems pretty clear if the people that I've been talking to, that the police unions, the benevolent societies, as they're called, are strongly in President Trump's corner. With regard to these protests, it's going to be interesting this afternoon after the House finishes its session. Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona is organizing what's called special order on the House. And this is when you don't have a bill that you're necessarily debating, but you want to say something. And so these are speeches that happen after hours, or probably usually to an empty house. I'm going to try to see if I can grab something for tomorrow, maybe. But Andy Biggs is going to have special orders in the House to allow congressmen and members to speak about recent rioting and the possible sources of funding behind them. These are organized. We saw yesterday at one of the protests, two people were arrested, and they claimed that they were medics at the protests. Okay, if you're a medic at a protest, that to me says this isn't some spontaneous, I'm angry. We are organizing this, and we know it's going to be violent, so we're bringing medical help. This is planned. This is not spontaneous. It really has probably very little to do with George Floyd or any police brutality either.
No. And to your point, one of those arrested in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in the protests there, one of those arrested who is now being held on $1 million bail. It's a young woman, and she's saying, hey, I was just a medic in this protest, in this riot. I was just a medic.
Yeah.
Okay, you're there. You're part of it. That is why she's being held right now on $1 million bail. And her daddy is being quoted in the story. Says, I cannot believe my little Janie is being held on $1 million bail. Well, she is because she was part of it, plain and simple. You know, another factor in this, it's almost these days too, if you support police, if you actually say you support police, you get in trouble in certain factions of our society. And that was the case last weekend. A couple of kids at Little Miami High School in Ohio, a couple of the players.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was last Friday, and it was a night as part of the football game to honor 9/11. And so a couple of young men, Brady Williams and Jared Bentley, they run onto the field. They're members of the football team there at that high school. They run onto the field, and they have flags supporting first responders. All right? They have flags. Now, you would think the crowd would cheer and the school would be so proud of these young men. They got suspended because apparently they broke some kind of rule. Now, they had talked about this initially, and the school said, no, you can't do that. Now, first question I have, if you're honoring first responders, you're honoring the people who gave their lives in 9/11, why would you not have a couple of the players? By the way, these two players, one of them, his dad is a police officer. The other one, his dad is a firefighter. Now, they were interviewed on Fox and Friends this morning. Brent, mm-hmm. this is going to be cut 8. And they have a story to tell. By the way, the suspension has been lifted after a petition went out. And as of yesterday morning, there were 18,000 names on that petition. By the afternoon, the suspension had been lifted. But here are the kids, Brady Williams and Jared Bentley, cut 8.
If it was my dad that had died trying to save those people, I would have wanted someone to honor him in that way as well. Yeah, we broke the rules, but we did it to honor those who died 19 years ago. So in our eyes, we think we did the right thing.
Was it worth it, Brady?
100%. If I would have the chance to do it again, I would.
You know, as I say, the troubling point there, Chris, is the school would not allow them to. This is what I can't figure out. They had a discussion prior to the game, but why would they be opposed to a couple of kids whose dads are first responders? They're honoring the first responders involved with 9/11, who gave their lives with 9/11. Why would a school say, no, we don't want you running out with those flags?
I think the concern is that it's going to bring up concerns about Islamophobia or something of that nature. The reason I say that specifically is because every year for 15 years now, the Young Americas Foundation has done what it calls the YAF Never Forget 9/11 Memorial. And they set up thousands of flags, one for each person that died in the 9/11 Islamic terrorist attacks. That's the way they word it themselves. And Spencer Brown, the spokesman for YAF, has told me every year for a couple of years now that some schools have frowned on this because they are concerned it is going to make people look at Muslims in a bad light or bring up, say nasty things about Islam and things of that nature. So pretty much anything that is political in nature these days, schools walk on eggshells over because they're afraid somebody somewhere is going to be offended and therefore nobody can do anything.
Yeah, and you know, it was amazing to me, Steve, that after the incident in L.A. County last weekend, Joe Biden's response to all of this was, we have to have greater gun control.
Yeah.
And we need gun control of high-powered weapons. Well, the shooter in that L.A. County incident had a pistol. But Joe Biden, just like Barack Obama when we had those shooting incidents, always went to more gun control. That is almost the default position. And the people are saying, what are you talking about? Why aren't you just speaking out against the violence against police officers and leave it at that? Why do you have to turn it into we need more gun control?
It's very tepid condemnation of the violence that we're seeing from Democratic lawmakers and Joe Biden campaign. They said nothing about any of this violence and the rioting at their convention. Mm-hmm. Because, frankly, you have to say that it's their constituents that are behind. I don't know whether the anarchists, if Joe Biden and the Democrat Party are a little too tame for the actual anarchists if they'd vote for them. But certainly the sympathies behind this anti-cop movement are on the Democrat side. And Joe Biden or his people think that they will alienate voters if they come out in support of police. I've never heard such an anti-American thing from a major political party.
I don't think it's working. And something else that isn't working for Joe Biden, apparently.
His mind.
We saw on demonstration yesterday. He went to Florida yesterday when Democratic Party polling started to show he's losing the Latino vote.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes down. Now, if the goal was to demonstrate that there are a lot of Latinos who are supporting former Vice President Biden, that didn't work. So what we're going to play for you right now, folks, is a little bit of what happened when Joe Biden was introduced at a meeting of Latinos yesterday, and then juxtapose that against the kind of greeting that President Trump gets at his rallies. It's cut number one.
El vicepresidente, I'm honored to present Vice President and the future President of the United States, Joe Biden.
Distinct privilege to introduce to you my friend and the 45th President of the United States, President Donald Trump.
Enthusiasm gap much?
Did anybody catch the difference there? I mean, that was embarrassing. And Steve, we were looking at the video of this introduction of Joe Biden. This man, whoever he was, introducing Joe Biden, and this camera, this was, I see C-SPAN, I think it was on.
Probably.
The camera pans over to the podium, and there's no one there. And I thought for a moment, did Joe go to the wrong room? I mean, what was going on there? And then a little bit earlier, I had seen a little bit of video from this meeting yesterday. Joe Biden is sitting at a table all by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody around him. He has a microphone in his hand, but he's wearing a mask. This is imagery. Listen, political campaigns are built on imagery. There's just, that's the history of them. You know, it's like Gerald Ford stumbling down the stairs of the airplane. Remember when that happened?
No. But remember yeah, when, heard about it.
I remember.
Yeah. Remember Bush, was it Bush Sr. was at a dinner in Tokyo.
Japan. He threw up. I do remember that.
Yes. That gets played over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're doing a commercial, if you're a Republican and doing a commercial, you grab that little bit of video from yesterday in Florida, that introduction. Three people clapping, probably including Mrs. Biden,
right.
And that's about it. That speaks volumes, folks. And I think the Biden campaign is in trouble. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that when we come back after the break. Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning will be joining us. She always has an opinion or two on these kinds of matters.
Indeed.
And certainly we look forward to that and much more here on the Wednesday edition. Today's issues, Fred, Chris, and Steve with you. We're back right after the break.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
Now, methodological naturalism is really where much of academia is in America and the West, that there is no God. your beliefs about values, right and wrong, true, false, are really just your own personal opinions.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. In March, we're going on our annual trip to the Holy Land. And if you want to go with us, get the brochure or visit the website, twholyland.com. twholyland.com. We're going to go to Israel. We're going to go to Jerusalem. So much to see there. Bethlehem, the Dead Sea. We're going to the Jordan River, where we'll have a baptismal service. We're going to ride a boat on the Sea of Galilee. We're going to so many places you've read about your whole life in the Bible. It's going to be the trip of a lifetime. If you would like to come with us, again, go to the website twholyland.com, twholyland.com. It's in March, March 16th through the 24th. If you want a free brochure sent to your home, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Jared Bentley and Brady Williams knew they would get in trouble, but that did not seem to matter to the teenagers from Morrow, Ohio. In their hearts, they knew they were doing the right thing, and that's all that mattered. The boys had asked permission to carry flags honoring the police department and the fire department onto the field during the September 11th football game at Little Miami High School. Jared's father is a firefighter. Brady's dad is a police officer. They wanted to honor first responders. But the school district refused to allow the boys to carry those flags. They were told there would be repercussions if they defied the orders. The boys considered the cost, and on Friday night, they ran onto the field with their teammates waving those flags. On Monday, they were suspended indefinitely from the football team. So high school football players who take a knee and denigrate the police are celebrated, but young people who honor the flag are ridiculed and punished. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And indeed, welcome back to this edition of Today's Issues. The news coup continues. Fred Jackson here with reporters Chris Woodward and Steve Jordahl from American Family News. Good to have you along listening with us today, but you can also view this crew. Brent Creeley will tell you how.
If you would like to watch the show, you can go to Facebook or YouTube, type in Today's Issues. If you don't have Facebook or YouTube, you can listen to the show at afr.net where we stream the audio, or you can catch the podcast after the show is done at afr.net.
Yeah, we have quite a few people who don't view us that way, bringing the program.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, all right. And you can leave some comments, but be nice. As Brother Tim always says,
be nice. Please.
Please, be nice. Be nice. Hey, listen, we've been talking this week also about our news service and our wonderful website, onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com, where you can go and get the day's news from a Christian perspective. In fact, guys, as you're well aware, we offer it in the form of a daily news brief that you can get, folks, in your email each day. And if you go to onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com right now, up at the top of the page, you will see a banner there. It says Current News Christian Perspective. Subscribe to our daily news brief. If you click on that, you will see a little form that comes up underneath. You can put your first name and last name in there and your email address. And we will, Monday through Friday, just once a day. We will not crowd your email. Once a day, we will send you a brief. It has the top 8-9 stories from the site, stories that Chris prepares and Steve and our other team members there at American Family News. It is a tremendous resource, and here's why. You hear American Family Radio News at the top of the hour during the day, but we're limited. We have 4 minutes and 29 seconds, as Chris reminded me yesterday.
Every day.
All right, 4 minutes and 29 seconds. And so that limits on how much material we can put in there. But One News Now and our fine editors there are able to expand on the radio stories, give you much more detail, much more of what the people we talk to in our interviews, what they have to say about a particular issue, Chris. And so that's the beauty of that. We deliver it. It's free of charge once a day. So I would encourage you folks, your pastor, your homeschool mom and dad, whatever the case may be, Sunday school teacher, it is a tremendous resource for you. The important stories of the day. And it's not just politics. Although, you know, the spiritual warfare that we're involved with right now crosses over into politics, folks. You can't separate the two. But what you will get is when we talk about the issue of abortion, we are unapologetic. We are pro-life in that. And we come at it from a biblical perspective, because the way God sees life, according to Scripture, is life begins at conception. And you are a human being at that very moment.
That's right. Preach like that in my church, we say amen. Yeah, some of the categories that we cover: business, church, culture, education, legal, media, missions, national security, persecution, politics, pro-life, science and tech, and perspectives.
I'm going to keep lobbying for sports just because I like to report
on it. We do cover sports from time to time. Though you will find some sports stories in the business or culture, maybe even in the legal story. I've covered a number of business-y stories that involve sports. Steve does a fantastic job of the media coverage of sports. You know, kneeling has been a big issue right now, but certainly from time to time we have emailed current and former NFL players on books they've written or pro-life efforts they're making, things like
that. I'm just hoping I can get a press sideline pass to like a state game or something at some point.
But there you go.
I'll talk to you offline about that, Fred.
All right, very good. All right, so go to onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com. Go up the top there of the page and sign up for our daily news brief, free of charge, once a day, Monday through Friday. Well, you know, speaking of things religious, very interesting. Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, several other high-profile Democrats are all, if you go and read their profile, they are all members of the Roman Catholic Church. But they don't have a lot of friends in the leadership of the Roman Catholic Church right now, for one of the reasons being is that the Democratic Party is unapologetic pro-abortion in its stand, and the Catholic Church takes a very strong stand against that. And I assume it's a 501c3 political group within the Catholic organization. It's called Catholic Vote. And they are running an ad right now pointing out that Joe Biden holds anti-Catholic beliefs. Here's a little bit of that ad, cut four.
A sacred belief, an indispensable truth. Catholics everywhere know all life is sacred.
We must fight against a legislative agenda that supports and even celebrates destroying life in the womb.
Joe Biden would force American Catholics to pay for abortions, sacrificing his Catholic values to kneel before the leftist mob.
Biden-Harris, the most anti-life presidential ticket ever.
Learn the truth about Joe Biden's radical stance on abortion.
All right, so there you have it. That's an ad that's being run right now by Catholic Vote.
Right.
And, you know, that I believe that will have an impact. You know, yesterday, Steve, the former Vice President Biden was in Florida to try to shore up a bit more of the Latino vote because he's fallen behind in the polls. But, you know, a large portion of the Latino community are members of the Roman Catholic Church.
If not that, then they certainly are socially conservative. A lot of evangelical Latinos as well, as our friend Sammy Rodriguez would remind us. But
they're dedicated Catholics, dedicated to the church teaching that is pro-life, that life begins at conception.
Absolutely.
And so I think that ad is going to have an impact. All right, we are delighted to be joined right now. She couldn't join us yesterday, but we are sure glad she's back today. Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Good morning, Sandy.
Hey, good morning, Fred and everybody.
Yes.
Hello. Hey.
Good to have you. We've been telling people this is the news coup here at Today's Issues. It is Fred and Steve and Chris. We kind of take
over. Oh, wow.
We got a bunch of people away here, so the B team has come in, but we're bringing you in so you can bring up the quality.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that today. But you know what? I'll do my best. I'll give you my best B-team effort.
All right. Well, speaking of coups, and we start talking about conspiracy theories, you know, for a long while, it's been thought that, you know, given Joe Biden's mental issues and talk about, you know, he's deteriorating, that if he was to be elected on November the 3rd, that in actual fact, he would step down very quickly. And we would have Kamala Harris as the next president of the United States. Now,
that would never happen, Fred.
No, the Democrats have been, and their supporters have been dismissing that as strictly conspiracy theory. Well, to add strength to that conspiracy theory, Sandy, we've had a couple of examples coming from Kamala Harris and yesterday Joe Biden that may fuel the flames of that conspiracy fire with regards to what's being planned for the future of the Democratic Party should they win the presidential election this fall. Here's a little bit about what Kamala Harris had to say earlier this week and then Joe Biden yesterday. See if you can catch a little bit of what they were saying, perhaps about the future of the Democrats. Cut number two.
A Harris administration together with Joe Biden as the president of the United States, the Biden-Harris administration.
Harris-Biden administration is going to relaunch that effort and keep pushing further to make.
Now, Sandy, when Kamala Harris said Harris administration, people just thought, oh, well, that was just an accident. But then when Joe Biden said something similar yesterday, you really have to start scratching your head.
Well, and that comes on the heels of this big conclave that was formed, and they issued, a 22-page report just last week about the different scenarios. They actually did war games. They played games with, you know, what would happen if Biden wins by a landslide? What would this look like? If President Trump wins? If, you know, every possible scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a leftist effort, and many people thought that it was a way to signal to the vast, you know, conglomeration of media and leftists out there about what they actually want to happen. So it makes you think that why wouldn't they? They game everything. They think ahead. They plan and they plan and they plan. That's what communist leftists do. They're master planners and they're community organizers. So I would not doubt at all that they have been talking about what they're going to do, that they've even gamed that out. It may honestly be a very scary slip of the tongue. I'll argue with myself in this, though. You know, we've talked about Joe being controlled in his basement appearances by people off camera. You know, the teleprompter he's using, someone else answering his questions while he reads them, you know, just all kinds of things. But I thought it was really interesting when Kamala Harris was doing a press conference in a swing state, can't remember which one now, just last week.
I think it was Arizona.
Was it Arizona?
I think so.
And the moderator at the end of it says, oh, here, I know you'll want to answer questions, hands her the mic, and someone off camera is heard to say, oh, no, thank you, we're good, that's good, no, thank you. And then someone else pipes up, says, no, thank you, we're good. And so someone was controlling whether Kamala Harris could speak, which made me think that she isn't in charge either. Somebody like in The Wizard of Oz, there's someone behind the screen who's doing the puppeteering.
I have a question. Okay, we've long heard President Trump say, you know, talk about the fake news media. Media people, air quotes, reporters, okay, are at these events. But we don't hear anything from these people, or we rarely hear anything from these people about the very small turnouts or the lack of questions. Yeah, there's a few examples where people talk on Twitter like Biden didn't take any questions today or things like that. Does that prove to you their silence on this issue show that they're in the tank for the Harris-Biden administration or campaign?
Well, you've answered your own question. I mean, obviously they are. I mean, it is, as I've often said, been saying this for years, it is as much what the media doesn't tell you as what they tell you. They control the amount of information. And just like with the Middle East peace agreement yesterday, that was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was huge. But if you were listening to other networks, you wouldn't know that. If you were listening to CNN, you would think that the point was that President Trump and Bibi Netanyahu and the leaders of Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates didn't have masks on. And the people in the audience did. And the president has no respect for COVID. You would think that was the story instead of this historic Mideast peace agreement. They are in the business of disinformation, leaving things out. And there's just no doubt, Chris, as you know, that the press is completely down with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. There's just no doubt about it.
Nancy Pelosi called it a distraction.
Yeah,
that's the word she used yesterday for this historic Middle East agreement.
Mm-hmm.
She called it a distraction. And
they allow
the reporters allow her to get away with that kind of nonsense.
To your point, Sandy, yesterday on CNN, when they were talking about the no masks and they were fixating on no masks in the crowd, they called it the event at the White House. They didn't even acknowledge that there was a signing of a treaty, that even if it was dangerous, it was an event.
Hundreds of people there.
You know, that reminded me of CNN, a month ago, having their reporter in front of this fiery inferno of a building behind the CNN reporter. And he's saying, but most of the protests are just, these are peaceful demonstrators.
Right.
This is peaceful, mostly just peaceful. And, you know, it's just, and so I say, and you probably say the same thing. Truth is what comports with reality.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, there. So in order to figure out what's true and what isn't, because that's a dilemma for people right now, you have to think what's real. What do you see with your own eyes?
Oh, I know.
What are you seeing when they tell us Melania Trump is, you know, a loser? She has no style. She can't decorate the White House. And you see with your eyes that she's like gorgeous. Mm. Her clothes are beautiful. The White House looked beautiful, but last Christmas they told us it looked horrible. You know, she had no taste. Truth is what comports with reality.
You know, another aspect of all of this is you juxtapose the way Joe Biden shows up at events with roughly four people. Last night, President Trump went to Philadelphia and he had a town hall meeting. Now, the town hall meeting was not sponsored by Sean Hannity at Fox.
Right.
Do you know who was asking and moderating the questions? George Stephanopoulos. And it was a town hall meeting with independents. And Donald Trump sat there and was willing to take those questions.
Mm-hmm.
He's not afraid, Sandy. He's not afraid of the media, even though the media treats him like dirt. He's not afraid to go before that crowd last night with probably, you could say, a hostile moderator. And still he's there answering questions.
I have to say, I think President Trump has incredible character. I thought about that this morning. When you see all of the opposition coming his way, and it's almost becoming like a cliche to say that, but let's say the recent opposition, he believes that our troops that are killed are cowards. That's what they told us in The Atlantic. And Bob Woodward tells us that he lied to the American people about COVID. Mm-hmm. And then every day, we have this woman, a very aging or aged former model, I think, who said he molested her in a dressing room. Every day there's something. And yet, what's he doing? He's working on peace in the Middle East, a historic agreement, and rising above that, which I believe shows tremendous character. And I think the fact that he's willing to go on in a place like that into the lion's den shows, you know, he is very confident about truth. People call him a liar, but honestly, the truth of it is he's a very honest person. Oh, I think in terms of, you know, exaggerations and things like that, yeah. But I mean, in terms of his opinions about stuff, you know where he stands, you know who he is. He's not uncertain when he goes into these situations. He doesn't have to say one thing to one audience and another thing to another audience. He's pretty firm about who he is and what he believes. So it's pretty amazing.
You know, to your point, Sandy, and we played this clip earlier. It's going to be cut 7, Brent. I want to play it again for you again. It's an undecided voter, Danielle Pletka. And she was on Fox and Friends this morning, and here's what she has to say, that she says she's going to vote for Trump, and here's why. Cut number 7.
Well, I have to believe what I see, and that's the challenge, I think, for all of us, is that for many people, the concern is that Joe Biden isn't really the man he used to be, and the Democratic Party isn't the party it used to be. The party has lurched to the far left, and he's had to accommodate that. So what he believes in his heart of hearts is really irrelevant at this point, because he represents a party and a faction within that party that is really extreme, to my mind.
People have to believe what they see. Now, that is, I think, this campaign in a nutshell. What was it, Congressman Crenshaw, back 3 or 4 weeks ago, he, in an interview, I think, with Fox, Sandy, said, just listen to what the Democratic Party is saying. Listen to their platform. And you decide if you want that to be the America of the future.
I remember that, yeah.
America of the future.
He's a brilliant guy. Dan Crenshaw, he really is a brilliant guy. He's so insightful. And he's right about that. And that's why I think the polls are shifting, even among Hispanics and among black voters. Because, honestly, I think, maybe I'm delusional, but I still think that most people kind of prefer truth. They don't really like deception and deceit. And they want peace. And they don't want their streets to be torn up. And they don't want their homes and their businesses to be destroyed. And so there's a lot that brings us all together, a combination. This is our home. This is where we raise our kids. This is where we, you know, go to church or don't go to church if we don't want to, or go to the movies or go out to dinner. We are a family. However loosely constructed, we are a family. And we, in the final analysis, most of us don't want that family to be destroyed. So there are a lot of unifying things going on right now. I think one of the biggest challenges is, I just was in a conference a few seconds ago about the plans of the left, which are pretty frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, starting tomorrow, they're planning on laying siege to the White House. And I don't know, we saw what they did in front of the White House, what, a month, 2 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
We saw what they did. We saw the insurrection. We saw what they did after the RNC convention as people were leaving, how they attacked mm-hmm. people. We saw that. That was, what, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And now they're planning on laying siege to the White House up until the election. We have very wicked people at work among us. And we know that the communists have always said if they can just get 1% of people to go along with them, they can control the other 99%, because most people don't have enough courage to fight back. And they can control people. And that's the challenge for us. Are we going to let this small group of anarchists control us? Or are we going to fight back? And that means wherever you are, wherever you're living, are you going to do something? Are you going to keep hiding in your house? Or are you going to do something? And I say every morning, do something, say something, speak up, do something. You can do something. And you'd be surprised the power of you taking a stand, because people naturally follow leaders. And when they see you standing up, they stand up. It's contagious. So come on, let's fight back.
Yeah. I remember you saying in the last week or 10 days or so, calling on people just to volunteer at polling stations, being a witness there, because that I think is part of the plan of the left also, to basically destroy valid ballots. But also there was, I forget where this was yesterday, where a bunch of ballots, I was reading actually this morning, a bunch of ballots were being set to be sent out, and it had Trump at the top of the ticket, but it had a libertarian running his vice president underneath, the name of a libertarian. Now, how in the world did that happen?
I can't imagine. Could it be that those federal agencies that mostly are still populated by Obama appointees or Clinton appointees are working against the president? Could it be that? Yeah. I can tell you right now, there was a directive given by the president and an edict by the Education Department. It's not called edict, it's directive, whatever, rule, whatever. Mm-hmm. And this happened just a few days ago, or maybe the end of last week. And it said that the various departments of the executive branch are no longer able, including the FBI, to introduce and teach critical race theory. to their employees. The FBI is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But so is the Treasury Department.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard yesterday that the CDC is defying that order. The CDC, Center for Disease Control, the one we trust, it's Dr. Fauci and, you know, all those good people who've been so honest with us. They are behind the scenes teaching critical race theory to their people, and they're defying that order, at least at this point.
I think I saw something from Mike Pompeo that they shut that down at the CDC.
For the CDC? All right.
I think so. That's a tweet yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, one of the things Sandy told me in recent weeks, though, for people that didn't hear it, it was the time frame that Fauci was quoted as saying we all needed to be wearing goggles and face masks. I called Sandy because Fred was like, call Sandy. See what she says. Okay? And Sandy's quote that day was, Dr. Fauci is an evil little smiling man, and it has made me chuckle every time I've thought about it. And
did I say that?
You did.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so usually so careful.
The thing about Fauci, though, is, you know, and I've mentioned this in stories. I tweeted about it earlier this week. He constantly gets quoted, and articles lead off with Fauci says, right?
Yeah.
Fauci himself told Senator Rand Paul at a Senate committee hearing in May, I never said I was the end-all voice on these things, but he's still. is like the lead story on all these things.
Well, I wonder why.
Yeah.
I wonder why. See, while they don't cover a lot of other things and they ignore a lot of other people, they really do feature him. Do you think that might be incriminating from our perspective to Dr. Fauci? I believe so. In fact, last night, you know, Tucker Carlson had a Dr. Lee on with him, a Chinese who had been working in Hong Kong. And so she's reporting. She is a researcher, epidemiologist, whatever her title. She's reporting that the Chinese communist created that virus in a lab. It did not come from the bats. It did not come from a meat market.
Right.
And so I had a point. Oh, my point is that she knows she's with the World Health Organization. She is on the inner circle, and she's reporting this. But the comment was made that Dr. Fauci has always supported the communist Chinese view. That this what came from bats or it came from that meat market. And he has very close ties to China. And so that observation was made by someone in the know. And so just saying he is, what did I say he was, Chris? I think maybe it's time to repeat it. He's
a very evil little smiling man. Very dangerous, evil little smiling man.
Yeah, I think, well, I might go with that again today.
Yes. Hey, I actually have an update on that virologist. Now, this is coming from the New York Post this morning, but the New York Post said today, Twitter suspends Chinese virologist who said COVID-19 was made in Wuhan lab. It's the young lady that was on Tucker last night.
So Twitter didn't like that.
Apparently.
Well, Facebook will take it down, and so will YouTube. I mean, that's just a given, because they won't post anything there. You know, they have Dr. Scott, what's that with Scott? The guy that's on the Corona Task Force who went to the University of Chicago. Yeah, from the West Coast. Okay. Well, anyway, he's a great guy, and he is on the president's task force, but he disagrees with the little smiling man. And so he's been removed from YouTube.
Yeah.
Scott is his name. Dr. Scott, his last name.
Well, I tell you what, when we talk each day about the forces against President Donald Trump. But you know what? There is a force that those forces cannot contend with.
Yeah.
And God is going to decide.
Right.
He is going to decide. And our prayers need to be with the president. Then we need to pray for Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. They need Jesus. That's the bottom line. They need their hearts changed. That's the bottom line in all of this. Sandy, so good to have you with us. What do you got going for tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I may have a report on this siege of the White House. I'm working on that.
Okay.
But also, it's my day to usually open the phone lines and talk to people because they have a lot to say. I always learn something from the listeners, so it's kind of fun on Thursdays to do that.
Amen. Sandy from Sandy Rios in the Morning. Great to have you with us. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. You guys, too. Great to talk to you.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
We got another half hour of programming ahead. Today's issues on this Wednesday edition. Don't go away. Back right after the news.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.